Hey, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Sunday night edition to Into the Night with me, Sean Kelly. How is everybody doing tonight? I'm doing great. Couldn't be better. Last week in Pittsburgh, man, that's all we did. We got rain and rain and rain and rain and rain and rain. It was terrible. And so today, of course, hey, Cindy Simpson, how are you? Good to see you, hon. Excuse me. So I go back to work today, and what happens? It's like 79 degrees out with the sun shining and all that. Hello, Nicole. Good to see you. Thank you for coming in. Thank you. And so it was like 79 degrees out, and I had to work, you know, so that, you know, that they say the luck of the Irish. Yeah, I got the luck of the Irish. Even though I'm Irish, it's not so lucky all the time. I want to thank UPRN Talk Radio 105.3. New Orleans, 107.7 Mississippi. I am on UPR and Talk Radio. And I also want to thank Carnation for sponsoring my show tonight. This is my Sunday night show, so it's just kind of a laid back. You also part, you're also part Irish. That's great to hear, Nicole. And maybe we'll get lucky. Who knows? But this is my laid back night. And so, you know, the other night I was doing another show that I co-host, News on the Flip Side. And so my guest came on with his co-host of Chasing Prophecy, Jenny Nicasio. And I was thinking, I was sitting there and I was listening to what he had to say, you know, in the roundtable that we kind of had. And I was impressed, really, really impressed. Oh, really? Yeah, I know. I'm really looking forward to this, Nicole. I'm really looking forward to it. And so that night, I friended him, and I wrote him a message if he wouldn't mind popping on the show on Sunday night. And he graciously accepted, which I am really grateful for. I need to get to his bio, and of course, as you guys know, I read from my phone for the bio, and that's okay. So, and Tom Kawa, okay, I got it, is a charismatic, enigmatic figure in the world of paranormal news. As a seasoned podcast host and author, Tom brings a wealth of knowledge and a unique perspective to his audience. His background in media and writing, combined with his passion for uncovering the mysteries of the supernatural, make him an engaging and authoritative voice in the field. With a keen interest in AI and memory technology, Tom explores the intersection of the unknown and the cutting edge, often pondering the profound impact of AI on humanity. Hit the wrong button there. On AI or on humanity. His shows are a blend of intrigue and insight where he navigates through tales of psychic mediums and the unexplained phenomena, inviting listeners to question the reality that surrounds them. Tom's creative flair is evident in his ventures from naming UFO and paranormal news. I keep hitting that button, which is getting on my nerves. Tom's creative flair is evident of his ventures from naming UFO and paranormal news shows to designing logos that capture the essence of the enigma. In the realm of IT consultant, Tom's vision is to bridge the gap between technology and the supernatural, offering solutions. I keep hitting my thumbs are too big. And are the innovative, as they are mysterious, whether he's discussing the latest ghost sighting or analyzing the implications of technology advancements, Tom Kawal is the quintessential guide to the paranormal landscape. What a bio. What a bio. And I'm really excited. And like I said, this could be a laid-back show. You know, everything's going to be pretty cool. And without further ado, I introduce my guest, Tom Kawa. And did I say it right?
You tried, and that's all that matters.
That's right. All right, Tony. Hey, Tony Sabellis, good to see you.
Tony, what's going on? Nicole and Cindy, good to see you both. Yes, I was just on Nicole's, and thank you so much for the bio, and thank you so much for having me on. It's my pleasure to talk to your wonderful audience, and yeah, let's get into it. Let's talk about some cool things that are going on. And yeah, I was just on Nicole's. Cindy, I was just on Nicole's podcast, Psychic Seer. Here's a fun story about Nicole. Okay. So okay. Nicole is also a psychic seer. So she practices remote viewing. So here's a fun story to kick off with. I kind of played a little trick on her. I told her to see if she could remote view where I was, but I didn't tell her when I was at work in a work office. Mm-hmm. So I tried to trick her. And wouldn't you know, she got the blind color and the room paint color right. Wouldn't you know that? Yeah.
Good job, Nicole.
Yes.
Good job. Thumbs up, honey.
I tried to trick her. She knows what she's talking about. She is a wonderful person. I'm very, very happy to have met her along my travels of podcast hosting and being a guest on podcasts.
Well, first of all, everybody, thanks. LOL, I try. That's what she says. But Tom, at the beginning, you know, before we start, now, when I first started in podcasting, I was with Jenny Nicasio on Chasing Prophecy. Okay. And somehow things didn't work out right. And one time I saw her show and she had you as a co-host. And I was like, thank you, Tom. No, really, I did. I said, thank you, Tom. Because, you know, she's a good girl. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like I told you, and like I tell everybody, you know, if it wasn't for Jenny, I wouldn't be here tonight talking to you all, you know. So it kind of like, I'm kind of like happy. Two co-hosts of hers, which is so great. Yeah. I think I love it.
And the same goes to me with UPRN. Without her, I wouldn't be on. If you follow UPRN, you would know I was a guest on her show and then became a co-host. And I really thank her for being that bridge to UPRN to get on this platform and talk about, you know, look, we need allies, Sean. We need allies in all different areas. You know what I mean? To listen to us, to believe in our message and to hear all of the things that aren't talked about on your regular other stations, right? You know what I mean? Exactly. Whether no matter what it is, broadcast TV to radio to internet media, whatever it might be. So I'm just happy I could have that platform with her. So I am always forever grateful to her as well. And she is a driven woman. And you know, she's also an ally to both of us too. You know what I mean? You have your back. And all of that kind of stuff. So Cindy loves her too. That's great. So
Well, you know what, Tom? Look at all these gray hairs, brother. look at all these gray hairs, you know.
Each one is a different week, right?
Yeah. So as we were discussing before, speaking of UPR, and we were discussing before the show started, that you're going to have a show here on UPRN on Thursday nights. Would you care to share?
Absolutely. So at 6 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Central Time, we will be, or I will be having a new show, my own show, Beyond the Radar, where it's going to be a news-based program. We're going to talk about all of the stories that have come out for the previous week that are, you know, that major media corporations won't touch on. It's on the fringe, right? So Beyond the Radar. That's the clever name that we have. So we'll go from anywhere to in your paranormal news, your UFO news, you know, anything that just is touched on the fringe of paranormal that we talk about usually on UPRN stories. I myself, there is no major team behind me. My email is tom@beyondtheradar.com. It's just me. I want this to be an interactive show with the audience. So please, you hear any stories I might miss, because that's what I'm doing. I'm researching all the, you know, time before the show of different stories that come out, UFOs, paranormal, cryptids, demonology, anything like that. and we'll be talking about it, and I'll be giving my insights, and we'll have guests as well, you know, experts to talk about what this might mean. I have a pretty good Rolodex that I can call on of individuals, you know, to help talk about these things and break it down. And what does it really mean? Because you can have the story all you want, but without context to it, it's just words on a paper or words on a web page. You know what I mean? We need to
exactly
out there and again, interactive. BeyondTheRadarNews.com is live. You can go on, submit a story, but also there's a wonderful part that I built into the website. Again, being IT, I made this website. When I made this website, I added a submit a sighting page. So you can go in, you can put your name, your email. I don't ask for a phone number, not going to bother you, but I just would like to know the zip code. You know, you don't have to put your address, just put the zip code of where the sighting was. Write your story, write what happened to you, and then you can upload a file of like a video or a picture. Mm-hmm. And on a map, it'll pop up once. It's only me, so give me a day to go through all of the submissions. It's only me. I'm going to put them on the map. And then when you click on it, you'll be able to see the little pin. You'll click on the pin. You'll be able to see somebody's story about what they caught on video. So, or picture or just their, you know, if they don't have any media, by all means, just write, you know, a paragraph or something. Nicole actually was our first submission, believe it or not. She put in a UFO sighting, which mm-hmm. was an orb right outside her house in I believe she's Southern California, desert area, mountain desert area. So not like LA. So okay. She put a sighting up there, and I just think it's going to be wonderful. Hopefully, you know, people can submit anything they want. And we'll try to have our own records here on UPRN and take a look at paranormal, UFO, even cryptid videos, pictures, whatever it might be. And by all means, you can get on the air. You know what I mean? It's just me. If you want to leave your contact, I'll talk to you. You can come on the show. You can, mm-hmm. or we can just talk in private if you don't want to be on the show. That's fine. You know what I mean? I'll just ask, hey, can I say this? Can I say that? And then we'll talk about it. And, yeah, because there's not enough places, Sean. There's not enough places for people to put this. There's a ton of stuff on Facebook. However, you're in with all the other bots. You're in with all the other people that are posting fake things. You're in with all of that. So this way, you know, I can get my eye on it. We can vet it. You know, us as paranormal enthusiasts, we do have to be more skeptical than the skeptics, because there's a lot of people that want to put a bad name on us, that label us.
Yes, that's true.
So hopefully, you know, they can start using that. You know, if you have an emergency, Sean, you know, 911, right? You know, 911, you call that. There's really not anything else to report a sighting on a national basis. So I thought about that. You have MUFON, but you have to be a member. You have the UFO Reporting Center, but not many people know about that one, and it's just a file dump. So this one, you can interact with the show, you can interact with me, and then you know, you can interact with everybody, and everybody can see everyone. I'm not putting it behind a paywall. I'm not putting it behind anything. You go to beyondtheradarnews.com, submit your stuff, and then within 24 hours when I check it and I upload it, it will be on a map, and you know, you can show your friends, family, hey, look, I submitted this sighting. And then right now we only have two, but this is brand new.
I just want to give you, you know, kudos for doing something like this. I really do, because when I started in 2006, okay, mm-hmm. At the time, the only big show out there was Ghost Hunters, right?
Oh, you're right.
And
yeah.
There was nobody out there to share your evidence with, okay? But at that time, Tom, honest to God, there was so much egotistical people out there, egotistical groups, yeah, that you really, like, kind of had to be careful who you shared your stuff with. But what I loved about Ghost Hunters, all right, or TAPS, whoever you want to call them, mm-hmm. what I loved about them is that it gave people who watch the show the opportunity to talk to other people, to other paranormal groups. Do you know what I mean? And yeah. to say, hey, listen, I've been dealing with this situation at my house for a very long time, but I was afraid to tell anybody because I'd end up in a mental hospital or my family would thought I was nuts. And basically, sir, you know, at the beginning of it, we heard people's stories. Yeah, we did a lot of investigations, you know what I mean? But people could, you know, people could actually sit down and talk to us about it, you know what I mean? Nicole says sometimes people might be afraid to share their evidence. And it's true.
Yeah.
But at the beginning, Nicole, honestly, you're so excited that you caught something and you actually put it out there and you get ridiculed to death.
Yeah.
People just destroy you. They
absolutely.
They really make it really bad. And you know deep in your heart that you caught that. You know deep in your heart you were at that spot where you caught that entity, where you caught that very good orb, where you got that mist going across. And it happened to me at the beginning. They just ridiculed you. And that stopped a lot of people from actually investigating.
Yeah, you know? You're exactly right. You're a part of Pittsburgh Paranormal Society.
I founded it.
Founded it. Okay. So I was a part of Free Spirit Paranormal Society that's over here. And you're right, because it seems like whenever we had a function, like we would do a library show and we would, you know, just do an educational thing, you know what I mean? And try to sell some merchandise, but put on a show for everybody of like the equipment and things like that. It seemed like people just wanted to come to denounce or not, you know, to make light of what we were doing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for us, we didn't charge anything for anything. Matter of fact, even we paid for some investigations, right?
Yeah.
So we paid dues to buy a shirt and to have an end of the year like dinner. That was it. So there was no money making. We're doing this out of the sheer enjoyment of everything. We were the preferred paranormal group. So we gave tours at Laurel Hill Cemetery in Philadelphia. And so they would have one about once a month, once every 2 months. I think we got you know, soda and a bag of chips, you know what I mean, for doing it. And they charged however much, and we had 50 people, and we would walk along and tell stories about, because it's sad to say, but it was like a famous cemetery. Like, you had people from the Titanic, you had Revolutionary War people, you had fictional movie characters, graves there, you know? So it was a popular type of thing, but there also was it was a very paranormal place. It was along the Delaware River, and I mean, I don't have to tell you, water and paranormal and graveyard, you know, you're going to get a lot of activity, you know? So,
absolutely. But
speaking of that, speaking of people being afraid, I didn't found, but I became a co-leader of UFOs Over PA meetup group by the fantastic Mark Way. He made it. I joined their first online Zoom. And from there, we just took off as friends, started talking about all kinds of UFO things. But what we did for UFOs Over PA was made it a safe place. And I tread lightly because I don't like to use that word, safe space, but we made it a place where people could come on, tell their UFO story, share a picture, just like how you and I are talking here, in a community of like-minded individuals where you don't have to say, okay, but this would, no. You have the benefit of the doubt in this room. You know what I mean? Yep. In this meeting, we have the benefit of the doubt. I've talked to former military people. I've talked to scientists. I had a coworker's father who had a story from 1968. He was in the Army, but he was a firefighter in the Army from 1968 to 71, and talked about when Project Blue Book stopped, what was going on. Cause he was around there. He told me all the stories. He showed me, now he had Polaroids, right? This man had Polaroids. So he's holding the Polaroid up to the camera, you know, for trying to show, you know, all of the different things, but he was smiling at the end. I said, thank you so much. And he's like, you know, I never thought I would be able to get that stuff off my chest, because he couldn't, he never had the room to talk about it.
Right. Exactly. And, like I said, kudos to you. I never, even for me, even today, I retired from it back in 2022. I've been doing paranormal since over 30 years, but I've had the group for 16, 17 years, you know, and, you know, I'm no young spring chicken anymore, you know, so when I was young, I could, you know, go investigate till 4 a.m, you know, come home, sleep an hour and go to work.
Go to work,
I can't do that no more. I'm in bed by 10 o'clock. But, you know, what I'd like to share when you say that is he's been a guest twice on my show. We did an investigation down at the Duda Farms. And there's me, Val, who's been with me from the beginning. And she's like my sis. And then my friend Eric. And there's about 15 people down there that wanted to do this investigation, dude. And you know what the coolest thing in the world was about it? Here's the coolest thing. Just me, Val, and Eric sitting on the bench and looking at everybody just looking at their videos, their pictures that they took. It was like we all smiled, you know what I mean? It's like the three of us probably have about, I would say, close to 60 years, 70 years in together, all three. And but just watching the new people come in and really excited about doing investigations. And, you know, we're there to teach, you know what I mean? Yeah. We're there to teach these people, you know. I am very, very open-minded. I mean, I'm very... Someone needs my help. I've gone on 3 or 4 investigations during my retirement just to help the group out. You know what I mean? Just to, give them my opinion. It's like, you know, I keep telling them, I'm a ghost. I'm not here. I'm a ghost. You know, you know, you guys, this is your investigation you do. If you need to ask questions, please feel free to do that.
Yeah.
And so... I love it when you said a safe place. And I also did a round table with Mr. Way. What's his first name?
Mark Way.
Mark Way, yeah. And I was really impressed with him too.
Yeah. You know, yeah, he's a wonderful wonderful guest. He's Redding, so he's about an hour and a half north of me. Still on the Philadelphia side, but he you know, and I'll give a shout out to that. Every Tuesday at 6 p.m., UFOs Over PA on Meetup Group, they share a link. You click on the link, and it's anywhere between 5 to 15 people at a time, all different. You know what I mean? The group has hundreds of members, but we change the times up every so often so people can hop in and hop out, because maybe Tuesday works for you, but Thursday doesn't. So we just rotate like days and things like that. So right now it's on Tuesdays. Where people can hop on, talk, and just, you know, shoot it with other like-minded individuals. Like, we've had some notable stories come out during this time, like the Miami alien, you know, that was during that time. So that was a fun 2-3 weeks that we had, like, discussing, you know,
what's your theory?
So my theory is that, real quick, I'll dive into it. But with me, I'm a smoke and fire guy, right? Mm-hmm. If there's smoke, there's fire. So right. when you claim it's a fight between kids, right? Mm-hmm. And you have, from what those videos and pictures showed, upwards of 30 cop cars there.
Yeah,
that doesn't make sense. I understand it's in the public. I understand, you know, but. Man, Miami has a lot of, it's a city, so it's going to have a lot of crime. I'm not making any judgment there. That's just a bigger city, right? So when you have that and they're all there, you're dedicating a ton of resources. Let's read the second level. You're dedicating a ton of resources to a fight with kids where nobody had a weapon?
Yep.
I don't know about that. So that's leading me to believe there's something more than what we're being told. Whether it was 8 foot tall aliens or not, I do believe something supernatural, might not be paranormal, but something supernatural happened in that time. And when you have so many people calling the police at once, that will elicit that reaction, right? If you have 20 people in your town all dialing 911, the cop response is going to be equivalent to the amount of people calling that. So I think there was something there that scared the bejesus out of common folk. You know what I mean? Just regular everyday people. And they can't let it get out, because I am aware of a sort of net that where you think you can post anything to the internet.
Right.
It's caught, you know, there is a net that's going to catch your things. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there is a net, a sort of firewall net type thing that's going to catch people who are trying to do this and upload it right away. Right. And now you have some of those people talking out, like, none of my videos would upload, none of my pictures, and they became corrupted.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Interesting.
So my thing behind that, now, I am a firm believer of Project Bluebeam. Okay.
Okay.
I am. I mean, whenever I see that ridiculous crap on TikTok or on the internet about, you know, things in the sky and stuff like that, you know, everyone thinks it's Mary Magdalene or Jesus Christ, whatever they want it to be.
Yes.
Yeah. And I said, you know, first of all, it don't sound right. It don't look right. And me and Jenny had many shows on Project Bluebeam, many, many, many. And I just voiced my opinion on Project Bluebeam. And that's what I think would happen down in Miami, that they unleashed Project Bluebeam in that mall to see what kind of response it will get, you know. And it did a world of wonders for Miami. Yes, it did, you know. And it's just like, it's just mind-boggling. Do I believe in the supernatural? Yes, I do, you know. But for the people who are above us to do something really stupid and ridiculous just to see what happens, you know what I mean? How long have they been talking about Project Bluebeam, about having that fake alien attack? It's been like for freaking ever, and they're not just going to do it. You know what I mean? If you really want to think about it, this would be a good time to do it, because it's election season.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's where I get from it. I think it was a Project Bluebeam of some sort. Really. I really, really do believe.
There's a lot of social experiments, and I don't mean like fun things that people do. I mean like experiments on humanity to gauge a reaction or gauge what the anticipated reaction is, and to see see if they're right or not. Two, look for any inconsistencies in human behavior, because the way AI is, right? And I'm going to get into that for a little bit here. The way AI is you, me, Nicole, Cindy, whoever's on, we're just a bunch of data to them. So you need to collect data, an informed decision, right?
Yep.
You interpret data every single day. So do I. You were just talking about the weather. The data outside says it's 48. The data says it's raining. That makes your decision. Are you going to walk out there in a short sleeve t-shirt and sandals? No. No. You know what I mean? You make your decision based off what the data has given to you. This, if we use that line of thinking, let's move that to what this was, right? What are people going to do here? Now, Miami is obviously a different place than Anchorage, Alaska, Seattle, Washington, Denver, Colorado. But it's probably similar to maybe San Antonio, Texas. Maybe it's similar to New Orleans. You know what I mean? So you need to have environmental data in that area of what those people would do. Mm-hmm. If that same thing happened to a mall in Mobile, Alabama, I guarantee you the response is different. So I think the Project Bluebeam scenarios aren't going to be as big as that, because I think they might have kicked a little too far, if you know what I mean. You know what I mean? Right. It might have been a little too big for what they wanted to see. Mm-hmm. Now, if you have Pittsburgh and a subway or light rail system, maybe that's a next step. Maybe a small airport, you know, not a big Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, you know what I mean? But a Scranton, a Harrisburg, you know what I mean? Maybe yep. those type of things to get that data. Because I believe, you know, also we're in a symbiotic relationship with AI. AI makes us smarter to make AI smarter. It's just a fact. So, So with that, it needs to collect data on us. Now, we are the most unpredictable behavior-ridden things in the planet. You can give 10 kids born on the same day the same education, and they're all going to come up with different grades, right?
Yeah. So, exactly.
How are they going to measure us? It's just trial and error. And I think this was a trial.
Well, it worked pretty good. Nicole said, I'm surprised they didn't do that on the night of the solar eclipse. Nicole, I think they did. I really believe they did. Because everybody saw this little red dot, red thing mm-hmm. underneath the, yeah, I think they did do it, Nicole. And she goes, I don't understand why some police officers weren't even allowed to share much. There again, you're right.
Yeah.
It's just, but let me ask you a little bit about AI.
Sure.
I mean, this is like brand new kind of stuff for me, this AI stuff. What is actually the right definition of AI, artificial intelligence? What is it?
So the term AI it's new in the sense of how it's being used and applied today. AI, by just a theoretical base definition, is any intelligence that's not any decision making that's based on a set of factors that's not human made. Mm-hmm. So when Let's go with something, and it's a marketing ploy as much as anything it is right now. But when you have your washing machine at home and you change it to the towels setting and you put it for 30 minutes, that's technically AI because it knows a 30-minute cycle at this. I need to spin at this RPM and I need to have this much heat. So it's always been around. It's mm-hmm. just what you have now is more conscious, dedicated streams. You know what I mean? You have more conscious designated streams to get to that data. Meaning, when you have things like ChatGPT or Bing Chat AI or there's another one. Designer is more of like the picture element and making pictures in AI. When you have those, you are now unleashing the power of the internet with basically a humanoid front. So otherwise, instead of seeing a person like how I see you and me, you see just a prompt, you see a text box and you can type in whatever you want. What that does different than Google is it formulates the searches into an answer. That's the step above what a Google search and then AI is. So you type in Google, you type in places to buy a lawnmower near me, right? It's going to give you like links of Lowe's, Home Depot, and all of that. What ChatGPT will take that and then make it an answer, make it a human-based answer where, hey, Sean, I think you should go to, based on a search for lawnmowers, Lowe's is closer than Home Depot for you, so why don't you go there and here are some options for you in different price ranges. So that's where that's what AI in a nutshell is. It's taking the data and giving you an answer rather than you looking for your own answer.
Okay. Hello, Mr. Fox, Joe Fox. I think he's out from your area up around here, Joe Fox.
Oh, Westchester, Pennsylvania, Joe?
Around there, buddy. I think he's from around that area. But, you know, you hear everybody saying that AI is going to eventually take over the world. It's going to start. Hey, Carrie Lynn, good to see you. And, they say AI is going to take over the world, and they're going to take our spots in work, in our jobs, whatever. And then there's somebody building a bunch of negative AI things that are happening, and that they're going to. He's 2 hours north of Bluebell.
Bluebell, okay, all right, Pocono area, somewhere around.
So. What do you think of all the crap that's going on out there? I mean, whoever's putting this shit out is really doing the number on people. It's scaring the hell out of them.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it's a very good question, Sean. fear is the most predominant emotion on this planet, not love, not even anger. You know what I mean? It's fear. Right. So what do we fear? We fear change, and a part of change is something new. Yes. AI in this current, you know, evolution process in the current state is not going to take anybody's job. But what we're scared of is what it could mean down the road.
Mm-hmm.
We still don't have anything that AI does, we have to program it to do. Right?
Right.
So in theory, you still have the upper hand until some mad scientist in his lab makes an AI that can make more AI. And then you're screwed. But as long as you don't have that, you're okay. You need consciousness. You need consciousness. And Nicole's right. Yeah, I know a lot of people who have turned to the AI way of writing books. It's at that rate, why even be creative? But AI, I'll give you a situation where AI can take us out. Now, it's not going to go in and program a nuke to blow up, you know, in one of the missile silos or anything like that. You would need intelligence. It would have to have a creative, centralized thought process. Mm-hmm. And if even at this rate, if it did, it knows it can't survive without us. So, you know, that's the thing. I'm not talking about any time in the future. I'm talking about right now. But here is the way, just like Nicole said, here's how I think it could replace us. If people can use AI for every bit of everything, we as a human stop evolving. And what I mean by we stop evolving is we stop getting smarter. We stop learning how to do things. Writers having AI write a book for them and sell, and they're making money off of it. Okay, great idea in the beginning, but where does that lead to? Well, it leads to creativity dying. AI, doctors having these robotic arms and machines, and they say, okay, take out this guy's appendix, sew him up with this size needle, and then prescribe him X amount of pain pills and all whatever it might be at the end. And the robot goes in and it removes it. It takes it, you know, sews them all up. Well, now, doc.
Oh, Tom, you there? Tom froze.
Everything. They make, it will make people become more lazy and stop the incentive of getting smarter. And thus, as a race, now I'm talking about over hundreds of years, maybe 200-300 years. I'm not talking about right now. Right. We would, that's how it's going to take us out. Because once that seesaw tips, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to have the intelligence to know what things were like back in the day to do it without the robots. We're not going to know how to change oil. We're not going to know how to do a surgery. We're not going to know how to write a book. We might not even know how to write like handwriting. That's how I think it could lead to us devolving and dying out that way. But weapons wise, I can't foresee that.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that. Joe says there will be no more muses. You know,
no, he's right. He's right. What is your gain? You know what I mean? What would be your gain if you can just tell your computer? Now, let's think in this hypothetical world where you have a computer. Obviously, Sean, I have a computer, but we have to type on the keyboard. We have to engage it. We have to turn it on. We have to make it work to find something that pleases us. If you don't have to engage it and just tell it to do something and it goes and does it for that day and you can go sit and relax, you're not going to have any motivation. And the lack of the motivation is the lack of drive. It will equally lead to the lack of drive between people going and doing what they want to do. Mm-hmm. And then the great equalizer is, okay, Bunny, well, you have to have a job. Well, no, if this thing is doing the job and it's not costing you anything, you're going to move closer and closer towards a non-monetary based system. And then what benefit do you have to society other than telling a computer what to do? You're going to be isolated. You're going to be frail. You might look like a gray after, if humans might look like grays after thousands of years. But he's exactly right.
And Nicole says, we can speak commands like Star Trek now. I'm not a Trekkie.
You have Alexas, you know, and, you know, Google Homes and things. You can tell it to turn on the lights and things like that.
That's insane. Now, a little bit to the aliens and UFOs.
Sure.
Do you think they brought the knowledge of AI to us?
Yes. Yes. Okay. I don't think we got there. We probably had to do a little bit of work to get there, but we did. We weren't driving that ship. I don't believe that at all. Let's go back to, I can't remember if we talked about this or not. This might have been on the Eclipse pre-show and not on Joe's show, but how do we go from two drunk brothers in Kitty Hawk? One had to lay down plane to fly for 12 seconds. And then within 30 years, you have transcontinental flight.
Right. Okay.
How do we have the ability to wirelessly connect radio waves and Wi-Fi signal, but we don't know how to do anything else Wi-Fi? How do we have the ability to put a cable this big underground full of fiber optics and get internet to thousands of people?
Right.
We still don't believe people made it to the moon. The majority of people have a problem with them going to the moon.
Yep.
So we don't have a cure for man-made illnesses. And what I mean by man-made is like, sometimes there's cancer, but you typically with cancer, like your lifestyle, you know what I mean, leads to some of it, right? Yeah. Diabetes, sometimes you're born with it, but sometimes you can eat yourself into diabetes, right? So the things that are left on our own, we don't have a good track record of figuring out. But you're telling me we can make all of these things. You know what I mean? I don't believe it. I mean, what do you believe, brother? Roswell, Kecksburg, out near you?
Mm-hmm.
We've learned, and I'll tell you this. I had a guest, June Edward, medium, psychic, wonderful, wonderful person, very, very smart, multi-accomplished author. She told me on my show, labeled paranormal, I know contractors who work alongside aliens.
I believe it.
She said that. I said, and I'm joking around. Like, I thought she was joking, right? So I'm like, do they pay taxes? You know what I mean? Or, you know, I've heard of illegal aliens, but you know, what is going on here?
Right.
And she said that our government had to barter with this technology and to barter, you know, trade for trade, is that me humans are a sort of energy source for them.
Mm-hmm.
And what is an alien going to want with us? We're going to give it a bomb? Don't care. We're going to give money? Don't care. It's us. It wants us. So whatever that number is, I do believe we had we made a deal with the devil, so to speak, for that technology.
Oh, so, I have no doubt in my mind on that one, dude. In fact, I think I do believe that, Area 51, you know, there was that one alien, and they said, well, we'll swap with you. We'll give you, I want to say a number, 1,000 humans if you give us these. You know what I mean? And the people were never returned. You know what I mean? They were never returned. And whenever Area 51 51 went down, if you remember, that was in 1946. Now, in 1951-52 is when the first actual microwave came out. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not that smart, dude, like you were talking about earlier. We're not.
No, but you don't have to be smart to put a tracing paper over a painting, right? And draw.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You don't have to be skilled to do that. And I think that's what we're good at. I think you have it already done. They explain it, we do it. Right. I think it's following that model.
Okay. Do you think that AI is starting to become paranormal? Do you think it is? It's paranormal.
Yeah, so I have the I have thought of that. I have AI in the paranormal sense is giving you an answer it didn't do the work for, right?
Okay.
If I'm sitting here studying this rock or whatever, and I find out what it's made of, I did the work for that. I can tell you for sure. This iteration, I guess, of AI has not done the work, is giving you an answer based on someone else's. Where does it stop? Right. Does it know about itself? Does it know who it is? Does it know what it is? We have a level of animism between humans with everything. People call their car Betsy. People, you know what I mean? They right. love to give human things. And when you do that, you sort of give a consciousness, or at least a part of your consciousness, to it, right? Mm-hmm. You give a part of your consciousness to that thing you're talking about. I've done it. I've absolutely done it. I've done it with networks and systems and things like that. And the more you give it the more you give to it, the more like a person it becomes. The more right. finicky it can be, the more agitated it can be, the more whatever you want to call it. But when you have AI in the paranormal sense, AI can crunch way more numbers than you and me at the same time like that, right? It can crunch a bunch of numbers. It can crunch a bunch of data. It can get you anything. Mm-hmm. When you uncap AI, meaning you let it do whatever it wants to do, you let it whatever it wants, you know, you do anything like that. There's limits on some of the stuff that we can have on this version, which I think we're right. on like a trial version of AI, because I think whoever has the most, I think governments and things like that have the uncapped version of it. You know, if you wanted to tell AI draw different things, it's going to be like, no, there's a copyright on that. No, I don't, you know, no, this is against my program, whatever it is. But when I talk about the uncapped thing, who's to say it's thought it can't think of something that we can't, that we haven't yet.
All right.
We can theorize all we want about paranormal. We can theorize all we want about the supernatural, cryptids, UFOs, all of that. Mm-hmm. But the things that we can theorize is the facts, which are, you know, we are made of energy and energy cannot be created nor destroyed. Now give something with 10,000 times the thinking power of you and me and have it focus on that. How do you think we're communicating between dimensions?
True.
When you talk about David Grush and, you know, and what he was talking about on the disclosure hearings, interdimensional non-human biologics. You have to think, if we're getting AI now to the masses, how long have they had it and they used it and got to where they can feel comfortable to make a 10% version of it to give to the general public?
Okay.
We, you know, what I'm thinking is it's found ways in our theorems. It's found ways around our physics, around our math, to open portals, to open voids. And I'm not talking about this like scientific thing where it's like a whoosh, whoosh, you know what I mean? But just a way to communicate with machines on that side. If you believe the third dimension is the only one that has computers, you're a fool. Quantum computing can tell you that. Okay. Quantum computing can tell you all the way up until this is a simulation, if you really wanted to go that far. It's scary stuff, because it kind of proves that computers aren't real when you're using a computer to prove itself not real. And it's a whole different ball game. So when you have that and it's communicating with other ones, who's to say you're not they're just sending emails back and forth between dimensions. And I know it sounds chaotic.
It isn't. It isn't, Tom, honest to God. I believe it.
Yeah. And VR too, Nicole. You know, VR is going to, I've seen people on TikTok and Facebook and Instagram of people out in like California, your area, Nicole. Well, maybe not yours, but more in the city, of they're walking around living their life with the big old, you know what I mean? Oculuses and things like that, walking around doing that. And it's interacting with their environment,
mm-hmm.
where you can look at a store, and if it can pick up that store, it can pick up what's on sale, what you can go buy, which, you know, how soon before you don't have to leave your house?
They're doing it now with that, dude. Uh-huh. I know where we live, Giant Eagle, in Shop and Save, make, you know, get on the computer, place your order, then it goes to Giant Eagle, and then they do your shopping, and all you do is go pick it up.
Yeah. And see, that is a little different for me, for you, the people who have done things the traditional way, going to the store, picking up, going to this, going to that. But there's a generation coming that's all they're going to know.
Right.
And what about the ones that follow them? And the ones that follow them, where it's antiquated leaving your house.
Right.
Nobody leaves their house anymore.
Then you
worry about social, mental, behavioral patterns. Yes. on a countrywide scale.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at who the leaders are going to be from this next generation. And I don't want a president on a text chain with other leaders.
No. I don't either. And you know what, Tom, straight up, I'm 62. Okay. I'll be 62 in June. I'm not scared for me. Mm-hmm. I'm worried and scared for the generations behind me. I am, you know. And the way I see things now, what is going on in the world today, it was never like that when I was growing up. Okay? You got out of that house. You got this. You had to work for what you got. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know what? I just see it where kids are bad-mouthing their parents. And it's just, I really believe we're not going to have a military in the future, to be honest with
you. We probably won't. There's Jenny. Jenny, your kids do your shopping online. I know a bunch of people that do their shopping online. And I have a friend who does the Instacart. And he pulls in over $1,200, $1,300 because that's how many people are not are not shopping for their own self. So it's not a little bit of people doing it, Sean. It's a lot of people who don't want to do that. Now, I can always see, like, when I was growing up, you know, your parents' friend or someone who is sick, you just go shopping for them. You know what I mean? And you bring it over and then you leave it outside. And back then you could, because it was $60 and it wasn't, you know, $300 anymore.
Exactly.
But still, it was a way that kept people in communication, in touch with each other.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You have so many people being isolated. And when you're isolated, it starts to become your norm. And when it starts to become your norm, you feel like I have to be isolated. And once you start to feel I have to be isolated, you start making up stories of why people don't like you. And then when you make those stories up of people don't like you, you don't want to be around them, which makes you more isolated. So
it's
a cycle. And
we have to
realize that. But you're right. If the military becomes robotic, like Nicole suggested, because you don't have you don't have the recruitment numbers, enlisting numbers now. I'm sure it's such a decline. I think they raised the age of the maximum a little bit ago for that reason. But here's the thing. We're all in the same boat. So China will make you. But other countries, their recruitment declining is going down too. So if that's the thing, instead of being one soldier responsible for one body, you're going to be a soldier tech responsible for three machines.
Right, exactly. It look in the air. It's going to be drones from now on. But listen, my friend.
Stuff going on in Iran? I mean,
heck yeah. I shake my head, my friend. I shake my head in Iran. They know when they launched all that crap going on that they were going to lose anyway, and Israel wants to come back, and they're waiting for Israel to come back and destroy them. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, that's a dumbass move. You know, I'm going to launch all these little all these drones, and then knowing when I release the drone that I'm going to get my ass kicked in a couple of days. I mean, come on.
I mean, you have to be committed.
Yes.
I mean, one way or the other. You're either committed to the asylum or you're committed to your cause, but you launch all of these things, and when you're looking at a computer screen, you forget that it's human life on the other end.
Ain't that the truth?
You know, what I think I'm playing a video game type of stuff, yeah, right? Where I'm launching these things with, you know, enter and shift in the space bar. Back in the day, you had to throw on a 60-pound rucksack and a gun and go out and shoot somebody face to face. It's completely different. And it actually would make for a more disgusting war than not. They can feed you all the stuff of, you know, you don't have to see it. You sit behind the computer. Yeah. But when you see the footage and you saw those stuff, that stuff on Twitter and things like that, that was lit up like the 4th of July. Yeah. And there's kids and women and children and babies running for their lives because you aren't attacking a war zone. You hit a few buttons on the keyboard to drop some bombs over a city.
It's ridiculous. But listen, my friend, we are getting toward the end of time.
Okay.
Okay, this was a good show. It just went so damn fast. Hopefully I can
have did.
I was hoping maybe she wants to know, are you a gamer?
No.
Jenny, no. No. But thank you again for coming on. How can people get a hold of you?
Yes. So thank you so much for having me. For everybody who was interactive in the chat. Chasing Prophecy, 7 to 8. Eastern and or 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, Chasing Prophecy, myself, Jenny Nicasio, rotating cast of characters and interviews and things like that. Please check us out. We'd be happy to have you join our chat, you know, watch, send us messages. We take questions on air just like you do. So with a guest, anything interesting, please pop on and definitely hear, ask them whatever you want. We have a wonderful show coming up. Lauren Connolly this Tuesday. She did a documentary on the Loveland Frogman. So not a cryptid that not many people have heard about. So it's going to be a great time. But yes, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, Chasing Prophecy here on UPRN. You follow us on Facebook, on Instagram, TikTok, what do you name it? YouTube. You can catch us anywhere you want. Join in the chat. And then this Thursday will be the first episode of Beyond the Radar, your paranormal news network. So please join me 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. mm-hmm. Central. And yeah, look forward to talking to everybody.
Thank you, Tom.
Okay. Thank you, Sean.
I appreciate this. All right. I got 17 seconds. If children, please, if you can, go to your parents and give them a hug and tell them that you love them. And parents, please go to your children and give them a hug and tell them that you love them. And if you don't have no children, if you have no parents, find somebody to give them a hug and tell them that you love them, because those three words, I love you, go a long way. And on that note, I will see everybody Tuesday night, 8:10 to 9:10 p.m. Joe, thank you for great guests. Nicole, great show, guys. Thank you very much. And on that note, good night, everybody.
Good night.